And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. This isn't the first time that Alaska has dealt with a pandemic. Widely shared news clips on social media show the striking similarities between the current coronavirus pandemic and the influenza pandemic of over a century ago. KTOO's Pablo Pena went looking for lessons that could be learned from the mother of all pandemics.
It's October 1918 in Juneau, and the future of Alaska depends on which comes first, winter or the so-called Spanish flu. At that time, the flu had already been ravaging the outside world, infecting one-third of the global population. It added to the tragic loss of human life in World War I, which was about to end. When it was all over, records show at least 50 million total deaths from the flu worldwide. Newspapers report hundreds of infections and 350 deaths in Seattle. But despite the community's best efforts, the first influenza case in Alaska was reported in Juneau on October 14, 1918, before winter stopped ships from coming.
So the main thing was is that ships leaving Seattle, if they would do a visual inspection of everyone getting on the ship, and if they looked sick, then they would be told they couldn't go. And obviously the problem with that is that a lot of people didn't show symptoms until they were already up here.
That's Nico Sanguinetti. She's a curator at the Juneau Douglas City Museum. Sanguinetti says there are many historical parallels between the influenza pandemic over a century ago and the coronavirus pandemic today. Articles from the Alaska Daily Empire paint a gloomy and eerily familiar picture of Juneau during the flu pandemic. Stories of schools shutting down, businesses closing, and mandatory self-quarantines.
Some of these newspaper articles honestly could be printed 2 days ago. The same mentality, the same fears, the same concerns, the same uncertainties. It's very creepy.
Haida tribal elder Tom Abel says his Aunt Carrie witnessed the flu pandemic firsthand as it spread through southeast Alaska.
She kind of described the situation to me, you know, as if people were dying so fast that they couldn't bury them and bodies were rotting in the streets and in the, you know, were literally rotting where they dropped.
Abel's family survived in isolation. But going into 1919, whole villages in Alaska were decimated as the second wave of influenza traveled on ships and dog sleds up north.
It made its way all the way up to the Seward Peninsula and ravaged northern Alaska, killing, you know, devastating villages.
Catherine Ringsmith is an Alaska historian at the University of Alaska Anchorage. Her family operated the Diamond Cannery in Bristol Bay. Today, as residents are talking about opening up fishing communities in Bristol Bay, the fear of a second wave of COVID-19 is very real. Ringsmith says for many Native Alaskans, the flu came with the history of colonization.
This was a terrible, terrible disease that wiped out really the heart and soul of the population and left behind a population of orphans.
Historical documents show gruesome scenes. Cannery workers found orphans left to fend for themselves, surrounded by dogs and the remains of their relatives. Overall, the flu killed a greater percentage of people in Alaska than in any other state or territory in the U.S., except for Samoa. But Ringsmith says the survival stories of those orphans in the face of a pandemic would inspire generations.
And yet those courageous kids survived, and not only survived, they would go on to give birth to a generation that's, you know, going to lead Alaska into the Anska days and Anilka and subsistence and becoming some of the most powerful indigenous people on the planet.
Stories that go to show that in times of great tragedy, there are also extraordinary triumphs. In Juneau, I'm Pablo Pena.
Chilkat weaving has been practiced for hundreds of years by indigenous people in the Northwest Coast. The intricate design is a kind of woven record, documenting history and clan migration. In Juneau, one weaver wanted to create a work of art to reflect the biggest story of our time, the coronavirus pandemic, and Chilkat weaving seemed like the perfect medium to express that. KTOO's Elizabeth Jenkins has more.
For Lily Ho, being hunkered down with her family has been a creatively productive time.
Like, if the day was an orange, we are squeezing the drops out of it.
Hope is a weaver, and she's been busy creating a Chilkat blanket on commission in a private studio, a process which can take upwards of 2 years. But recently, she made something else on a much tighter deadline at home, after she learned about an opportunity to create art about what's going on right now. In early April, First American Art Magazine sent a call out for Indigenous artists to create masks, similar to the ones to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
It was so intense to weave it on my floor with my children around me in the midst of, you know, coordinating Zooms for my child who's in public school and doing homeschool with my other four children. I mean, it was a lot.
Her piece is called Chilkat Protector. It's made from merino wool and cedar bark warp. Two ermine tails graze the cheeks. The mask covers the nose and mouth. In their place are the distinct ovoid shapes of the Chilkat face, an expression that's confident and reassuring. The mask isn't something to be worn in the grocery store. It's a work of art reflective of survival.
When the person goes out, if they are a carrier, they are essentially protecting their whole community from being sick. And that's foundational to the Tlingit Haida Tsimshian peoples. And really, like my aunt said it the best, that the mask serves to record that we took care of each other during this time.
Hope's kids have begged her to make them one too. But she estimates it took around 60 hours to weave the mask on a lap loom. She has five kids, so that didn't seem practical. But the main focus, Hope wanted Chilkat Protector to show weavers were here during the pandemic and get the message across.
Chilkat weaving warrants the designation of fine art and fine contemporary art.
The mask has gotten an enthusiastic response online, and Hope received a Judge's Choice Award from First American Art Magazine. Her piece stands out. It's one of the only COVID-19 masks woven in the Chilkat tradition, a skill which has seen a revival, but weavers like Hope are still few. However, Hope thinks weaving hasn't always gotten the artistic respect it deserves. It's seen as a craft rather than a fine art. And while she was happy her mask was recognized in the exhibition, she thinks the art world still has a ways to go until it fully accepts weaving into the fold.
A carved mask wins over the beadwork, over the quill work, over the weaving. And I love First American Art for putting it into the world, but I'm like, that is the constant conversation. Men's work is fine art and recognized as best of show, and women's work is still hustling to catch up.
But Chilkat Protector seems to be changing that. The Burke Museum in Seattle recently acquired it. And Hope says for the first time in her career, she's created a commission calendar for other museums, which have shown interest in her weaving another COVID-19-inspired mask. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins.
After a winter's hibernation, local bears are awake and hungry. Some, however, already are getting their meals fresh from garbage cans. Roy Churchwell, area biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, says they've gotten reports of bears getting into garbage in Douglas, out North Douglas Highway, and near Thunder Mountain.
Seems like a pretty normal year, especially since we had so much snow. We might have expected that they would be a little later, but if it was, it might have been just like a week later than what you might consider to be normal.
The city and borough of Juneau's garbage ordinance specifies that garbage cans should not be put out to the curb before 4 a.m. on pickup day. Otherwise, garbage should be kept in a garage or a secure, bear-proof container. If you have leftover meal or garbage that may be particularly stinky and attractive to bears, Churchwell suggests sticking it in the freezer until pickup day. He also recommends removing any bear attractants from your yard.
So bird feeders should be put away this time of year. And if you have chickens or any kind of livestock that you're worried about, it's time to get the electric fence set up so that the bears can't get into them.
ADF&G has electric fences you can borrow for a few weeks until you can build your own. For complaints about bears getting into garbage, Churchwell recommends calling the Juneau Police Department, which is responsible for enforcing CBJ's garbage ordinance. And stock in Norwegian Cruise Line's parent company took a dive on Tuesday, erasing more than 22% of its worth. That's following news that the cruise line is seeking to raise $2 billion in capital to stay afloat. Norwegian is the smallest of the world's big three cruise lines, but it's heavily invested in Southeast Alaska. It deployed two megaships, the Bliss and the Joy, last year, and had planned their return until the COVID-19 pandemic. The Miami-based company told investors on Tuesday that it's raising $2 billion through a combination of stock offerings and private bonds that would be paid back first in the event of the cruise giant going belly up. The cash infusion includes $400 million from a private equity group that gets a seat on Norwegian's board of directors. The company is putting up, among other things, two cruise ships and two islands that it owns as collateral. It's currently mostly cloudy and 54 degrees. This afternoon, scattered showers mainly before 4 p.m. Cloudy with high near 53 and a 30% chance of rain.